If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter. Yay! With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Really should get used to it. You're going to be hearing a lot of her. Yola is one of the artists I'm most excited about, and it's not only am I excited about her being a Bonnaroo, but she's also somebody that allows me to talk about me.
Well, that is the requirement, isn't it?
It is, right.
I'm going to guess that's part of why you like me, because I let you go on and on.
Yeah, you're very docile, and you really let me just keep going and going no matter what.
Yeah, the way I look at it, it's the old give them enough rope, but you go ahead.
I've never been given enough. I'll never find the end of that rope. It's Barry Corder. I'm Brad Steiner. This is the What Podcast, part two of our two-part sit down with the guys that book your Bonnaroo lineup each and every year. Brian and Steve, and then a special guest from AC, Ted. Ted Heinig, who set all of this up and gave us the idea for it, which is awesome. Again, like we said last week, we've ran out of ideas.
Well, sort of, yeah. We're still getting there. They keep making the lineup, and there's new people. But, yeah, that was terrific of Ted to come up with that. And for those guys, we said it before, for Steve and Brian to give us so much time, as well as all that insight. You know, it's still, I don't know about you, but we left there pretty excited about what we got, but here it is 2 weeks later and it's still pretty doggone cool.
Yeah, and if you listen to part one, we appreciate it, and I'm sure that you had a ton of questions that you probably had, so send them to us. We don't mind it. Love to get your input at the what underscore podcast, the whatpodcast.com. Drop us a line. You know, the list of questions that, you know, I want a round two. I want to do this again. And hopefully one of them comes back to Camp Nut Butter and we get him a little boozed up and we can get a little bit more information out of him. hopefully the plan.
We'll give away tacos booze like
sure.
we did last year.
Anything.
It worked. Whatever it takes.
So,
but yeah, I think they will. I'm glad you said that because I think they were, I think they enjoyed it and I think they're willing to do a round two.
I hope so, because it's not something that's ever been done, I think. I don't know if anybody's really ever had this conversation with people who, you know, book. I don't know if there are Coachella podcasts,
yeah.
But I sure as hell think that they're probably not getting the Golden Voice guys sitting down explaining the booking process.
I totally agree. For them to give us what they did was amazing, and I think it opens up doors for future, what we're going to do in the future.
Yeah. I hope so. And if you haven't listened, please go back and listen to the first part of it. There's just so much in there. There's news, there's insight, there's, you know, explanations of the rationale behind all of it. There's so much that we're going to talk about once this part is over. We'll go through the whole thing and we'll recap, but let's get right back into it. Now, where I wanted to start was a place where Brian made such a great point, and Steve jumped in. I want to go back to that part first, and then just to set the table, and then we'll take off in part two. So here you go, part two of the What Podcast with the guys that book your Bonnaroo lineup.
Harsh reality is we say no a lot.
Right.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, we have to have some hard conversations year in, year out, and it all ties in really to what a lot of times to what Ted was saying. It's like, you know, we get a lot of pressure, and sometimes it's not the right fit for us, you know, us being Bonnaroo. It's not the right timing for the artist. And a lot of times that's a hard, you know, pill to swallow on the artist side. But but sometimes it's actually, it's interesting. There was an example this year, I'm not going to name names, but it was where we wanted them on the event and they turned it down because they didn't think it was the right look for the artist. And we didn't necessarily see eye to eye on where it fit in. And so they were like, well, we're just going to wait. And totally respected that decision, you know. And we'll probably have her on the festival next year. Okay. You know?
And a lot of, just to piggyback on what Steve says, a lot of it is situational too, mm-hmm. because where we are in the process sometimes dictates these decisions. Yes. Because if we're 80% of the way booked and we have an opportunity to put an artist on, but we don't have the exact right opportunity that they see is a fit for them on the festival, sometimes it just doesn't work.
So, timing,
again, just going back to there are so many factors that play into why a band does or does not end up on the lineup. But just to put a bow on this, I don't know. It is pretty fun, though, to look back at past lineups and see Avett Brothers played a Cafe Stage. Vampire Weekend played Thursday. Yeah. Kings of Leon played a first up.
Yeah, that's why I don't.
Alabama Shakes
those
played a Cafe Stage.
It is in that teeny tiny print at the bottom of the poster.
It's amazing.
And sometimes you're like, oh man, do you remember that band? Sometimes you're like, oh shit, do you remember? Like, look at that. Look at what we did.
I mean, I think there's one where like the Black Keys are like the third to last on the lineup.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think that's where I was trying to go is like, you got to take so much pride in the fact that these are artists that are major, major, major stars now, and you guys got to have them in these tiny spots and watch them grow. There's got to be an enormous amount of pride there. But to your point a couple of minutes ago when you said that you don't – did you say something like you try not to do back-to-back or you try not to do multiple years? Or you give them a window of 3 to 4 years?
It's not a hard and fast rule. There's always fluidity there, right? Depending on an artist's trajectory and where they are in their career, it is very difficult for us to repeat year over year, much less – 2 or 3 years, just because of the sheer amount of artists that are out there in any given booking cycle. There are obviously a tremendous amount more artists than there are slots we have at the festival, and therefore, you know, obviously we're trying to present a fresh round of artists each year.
I go back to, and I don't want to go backwards, but the year that Dua Lipa did a Thursday night and then turned around and was damn near top of the lineup the next year. I mean, that what conversation happened?
There's an exception to every rule, you know, but again, as a general rule, I mean, just look back. I mean, you don't see a lot of artists playing back-to-back years, much less, you know, every couple, two, three years.
Because of you guys and Bonnaroo, my bucket list is very, very short now.
Not really even a bucket anymore.
I mean, there's a handful of guys that I've would love to see.
It's like your shot glass now, Barry.
It's not a bucket. How about with you guys? How many artists are out there, Dolly, we've talked about, that you haven't been able to get that you really, really want to get?
There's definitely a good handful.
Yeah.
You do what you want. I'm going to refrain from naming any names just because... I like to keep...
Except for Dolly.
Yeah, I mean, you can name them.
I said Dolly.
Because you never know what we're working on. But there are definitely some. And there's some that we tried that unfortunately we won't ever have the opportunity to book now. You know, I'm trying to think. To me, the number one was Prince. You know, and I think that that one. You know, again, not for lack of trying. In fact, we came pretty close one time. And
it's
it
pretty
just
close, mean.
Thought we had it.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Didn't work out.
Okay. All right.
I
wonder what in my world I understand what pretty close means, but I don't know in your world what pretty close means. Is pretty close, and this goes for any artist, if they're pretty close. Is it a money thing? Is it a production thing? Is it...
It wasn't that close. It was just I thought we were close to a confirmation. How about that? Yeah. And ultimately, for a number of different reasons, it didn't end up working, but...
How many of those heartbreakers you have?
Happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah. A couple, 2, 3, 5, depending on how many we go after a year.
Yeah.
You know,
is it because in the success that you have, is it dependent? Maybe the word's not dependent, but how much of it is so because you have great relationships with management, or booking agents, or when you have somebody that just needs a little bit more work, are you willing to go fly and talk to this booking agent or management team? How much of that legwork are you still doing at this point that you're probably doing a lot more 5-10 years ago?
We still do it. We definitely still do it. You know, if we have our sights set on a particular act, we will do what we need to do to get it done. You know, and that if that's fly or go see the band and like go meet them backstage or, you know, whatever to tell the story. But yeah, we'll.
You never buy anybody a car? You never bought a car and tried
no,
to?
No. We're way too charming.
We will.
To do
we
that.
Will buy a car.
Jay-Z, if we needed, got a car
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
You're definitely not above bribing.
Yeah, absolutely not.
I was just gonna, and like some of it happens because we have partners. You know, like we got a text this week about, you know, a potential like add-on for 2020 with one of our partners out in LA. What do you think about this idea? Like Steve and Brian are in there every single day thinking about this, and I think that's a huge part of why it matters. They've been doing it forever. They've got great institutional memory. They really know music. And that's what makes this whole thing go. But they could book the best lineup in the world, but if, you know, Jeff and the team don't deliver the experience on site, if Jacob and Ben don't hold up their end and do an excellent job marketing it, it's the touch points yeah. across the board with the artist liaisons, with the artist shuttle like transport. It's really everything. It's like, you know, creating a city for the weekend that then some of us, especially these two guys, are living to build for the next year, a year and a half out. And I think that's really what makes it all work, because when you're down there at Camp Nut Butter having a great time, you're having a great time because you don't have to think about all the things that aren't going the way that you would want them to go, because somebody's already thought through that and has made it the yeah. best experience possible for your camp for that year. And then each year we try to make everything better. So yeah. I think and we can't lose sight of that. Yeah. Like sometimes, you know, I'm not in the heavy booking with Bonnaroo, but I've got a booking background, and we all like to think, oh, it's all booking. And listen, booking drives the show. If you don't have a great lineup, you're done. But everything yeah. else that comes with it is critical to, you know, the Bonnaroo fan experience and how they, you know, pull through the toll booths and how long that takes and yeah. how the search goes and how friendly everybody is and the food and the drinks and the pricing. There has just been a massive amount of thought that goes into all of it. And that's, you know, almost 20 years in. That's really what makes it work.
I have one more question.
Well, good. I have about 15.
Okay. I've always said if my favorite act is on the lineup, it's the best festival ever. And if they're not on there, it's not so yeah. good.
Who's
so
your favorite act?
We've heard that before.
You can say who your favorite
you're
act
so
is.
You're so millennial, Barry.
I was going to say.
Well, I mean, I say that usually as people who are criticizing a festival. You know, it's,
sure.
It's a silly thing. But how do you guys, I mean, this lineup is getting, got kudos from the moment it dropped.
Yep.
How do you guys define a good lineup, whether you put together a good lineup?
Are we selling tickets? I mean, I think that's a pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I think that.
Because you said earlier you're proud of all of them. I mean,
we are.
Sure.
Yeah. That, some sell more tickets than others, and that's what I mean. You look
yeah.
at it and say, wow, that was a good lineup. Why didn't it do? And why is this one and not that one? You
I mean, a lot of times, though, we can look back and see maybe on some of the ones that didn't do so well where we didn't actually deliver the best lineup that we could have, or we did deliver the best lineup that we could have that year, mm-hmm. but it just wasn't, because I mean so much of it is just, you know, timing and things like that. I don't know. I mean, before, like the day before we released this lineup, you know, Brian and I've been working on this for a, you know, well over a year, and we were talking, we're like what do you think? And we're both just kind of like, I don't know, man.
We'll see.
Because we've been staring at it and looking at it and like internalizing yeah. it for so long that we're like, I guess we'll find out tomorrow. I mean, we think it's good, but
you don't take it, or like how many people do you actually share it with to let them like get like an outsider view and say, what do you think about this? You do that at all?
You don't have teenagers in the house. You know,
yeah. I mean, we run ideas. No. I mean, we run ideas by, like, lots of people on the team and the Bonnaroo team, the, you know, staff here. I mean, the full lineup.
We collaborate with the team. It's not just, you know, two bros in an office together.
We ultimately are making
the decisions on what
love
is,
to see that lineup.
Yeah. we're making the ultimate decision on what is chosen or not. But there's definitely a lot of team input.
Do you guys feel as though, as individuals, though, do you feel like you have certain strengths in certain genres more so than you do somewhere else? Like, for instance, you might be more of a hip hop guy and you just know it.
To the other,
And
they do the experiences, mm-hmm. the classes. So
I think we obviously have our personal likes musically, but it's our job to know all of it, and so we are listening to music all day, every day. We are reading, studying, looking, you know, talking to agents, managers, you know, industry folks. I mean, this is literally, we live this. And you know, Steve might be better at, you know, some of the more indie stuff, where as I might be a little bit better at some of the rock pop stuff, but we all know it, you know, and it's not like I'm like having to convince him or turn him on to an artist, because for the most part, he already knows it.
And vice versa.
So it really, if we didn't do that, then it would be hard, because, you know, we would constantly be having to say, like, if I'm not listening to any, you know, hip hop and Steve is, and he's like, well, why don't you know this? And I'm like, well, I don't want to book it because I don't never heard of it. We rarely have to have that conversation.
Have there been total disagreements?
Absolutely. Sure.
Do we want to go over one?
We don't want to go over them. But yeah, we're not disagree a lot.
Names. Yeah. Going back to
Sometimes we do, you know, have to sell each other a little harder on something than, you know.
So it's not because we don't know the band, it's because we don't want to, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly, because we see something that, you know, we feel very invested in, and we want to, you know. But, I mean, that goes to something interesting, because, like, it's great because it is very collaborative. Like, it's not just, like, man, like, if one person was, like, booking Bonnaroo or whatever, it's really, it makes it really fun and dynamic, and, like, I think you can see a lot of the results by looking at the lineup and looking at, like, when the schedules come out and how you experience it on site, that, like it's not just one person sitting there and putting this thing together. It's, like, ideas and constant conversation and, like, riffing off of someone else's ideas, you know, doing it in that way, I think really, 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 like, you know, is hopefully clear in, you know, once you're on the festival site and experiencing like from the first step to the last off, you know, that kind of thing.
I was just going to say, like, I think everyone here on the work of Steve and Brian that they're doing, which is so great, is super proud when the lineup comes out, and it's really important to all of us. But there are a couple of factors, because the validation comes from, you know, the people that we're all serving, which is the Bonnaroo ticket buyer. Like, if they're not buying tickets, this thing is over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So everything that happens is with them in mind to create an experience that they really delight in and love. However, we have no control over the economy. So, like, in the years where, you know, people don't have as much discretionary income, we're going to see a dip in ticket sales because those fans don't have as much money. And then the other thing, and this is what Ashley always says, Ashley Capps, who is the president of the business, he always says, we're like miners who are out there, you know, trying to get scarce minerals and resources. Brian and Steve can only mine the artists that are out there on this cycle. And if a couple of them that were really key parts of the overall headline experience don't want to do Bonnaroo or are going to skip it this time around, they're really limited. There are only a handful of artists that can play the elevated headline spots. And I think that's another factor that really ties into the, not the proud part, but the ticket sales part. Because if you can't get whoever just because they're not touring, it's not possible, that may be a factor in your overall sales.
That's a great analogy. You're not creating the gold, you're mining it.
We're just mining it.
Yeah, we're miners.
Do you guys, so to the reason why I asked that originally, what's your lineup look like? What's your lane? What are you? What is your path going to be on Friday? Because look, Friday to me, and look, yeah, I've tried to keep away from some of the platitudes because I've said them on this show plenty of times. But I mean, you guys are creating such a feeling and such an experience. And I've said this to Ashley. I thought, you know, Bonnaroo and Ashley pretty much saved music about 15, 16 years ago. Your lineup, your path, what does it involve on a Friday? I have 16 artists I want to see on Friday. It's the damn near the best lineup day I have ever seen in a festival.
Thank you.
And I feel like I've been to damn near all of them in the country. Friday is unbelievable.
It's pretty stacked.
Yeah, it is pretty stacked.
I don't know how we ended up with that. No, yeah. It worked out really well. That's probably a better question for my wife.
Okay.
Who I usually, you know, let
you might be a
plot my path.
I think I felt like sorry to cut you off there, but it just reminded me when I started, you know, like sort of bouncing off what we were working on for this year with my wife, and she, as excited as she got, I was like, okay, maybe we are actually onto something.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's the question,
like her lane is definitely like. That level of excitement coming from the wives was really, like, felt pretty good.
Have you ever overbooked an artist wait, look at this. Overbook is the wrong word. Have you ever booked an artist that you saw was petrified and killed it, or the opposite? You saw somebody that saw a moment happening in their career. They could see it coming, and they were petrified. You didn't expect them to do as well as they did, and they absolutely blew it away. You ever have any one of those?
I can't think of anything in
particular.
Yeah. You ever find an artist that's just feels like the moment is just too big for them?
What do you think, Doug?
Never.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
But I wouldn't say it if it...
Like, no, I'm
right.
Not saying, but
yeah.
Like, I wonder,
I don't know.
For you guys as music professionals, if you look at an artist, you're like, ooh...
Yeah, but it's really hard to also say, because if you're not a fan of that artist, like, sometimes you just don't know, and sometimes people are really feeling it who are into it in the pit, and you've just gotten there for the last 10 minutes and you missed it.
It's hard to answer that.
Yeah,
the only thing I could say is I think we're really good at programming and slotting and positioning, but we don't hit 100% of the time, and I think that there's definitely been some moments over the years where we looked back and thought maybe we would have done, like, I would have not put that band on that stage in that time. Is that makes sense?
The genesis of that question is Warren Treaty, wherein I don't know if they knew the moment that they were about to have, and they seemed like, oh God, this is the scariest moment of my life. And then they go out there and I feel like they changed their life. I mean, it changed one of my favorite shows I've ever been to at Bonnaroo. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm bawling at the end of it. They're bawling after it. Afterwards, they're just hugging everybody as if, you know, they had just had this amazing experience that they feel as though may have just changed.
Well, everything. I think that's a better way to approach the question versus people sort of not succeeding in the slot that they were given or, you know, being underwhelming or something. It's more about those times where it's an act that like has gone above and beyond, and like the experience and like the changing, like that moment, like you said with Warren Treaty, like that was like a moment that was changing for the band and you, et cetera, et cetera. And I can think of like Japandroids on a Thursday night years ago. Like that band still is like, they hate festivals. The only festival they want to play is Bonnaroo, because they still to this day tell me that that was their number one, maybe their favorite show of all time.
That's awesome.
You know, and I was there and I watched it, and like it was insane. And we put that band on a Thursday night, and like who the F knew who they were.
And I can't tell you how many comments from artists we get that Bonnaroo is their favorite show of all time. You know, and you know, another one that comes to mind that I'll share, that, you know, this one I'm really proud of because she's had a long and storied and amazing career, is Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
You know, and Sheryl Crow, we still get, you know, comments from that camp that was her favorite show she's ever played. And that's, you know, I don't know how many shows Sheryl Crow's played. Yeah. That makes us proud. But again, it all, to me, it all goes back to the fans, because we have the best audience in the world, and if they're not showing up and being enthusiastic for every single show that we're putting out there, then artists aren't responding in that way, and that's what makes it.
John Prine last year, I mean, he danced off the stage. Yeah. You know, Paul Janeway talked about that was his goal to play, and then we watched him come out early for like sound check and just stood at the front of the stage and just smiled. So yeah, there are a lot of those moments. So.
I
know you gotta go.
You guys can keep rolling, but I've
Ted.
I've got bigger things ahead.
Beer things?
Bigger things.
Speaking my language. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's sick.
About to have surgery, so this is a good way to get me prepared.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
In like an hour, right?
Wow.
48 minutes.
So basically we've just been drugging you.
Yes.
He's ready to he's ready to go to sleep.
No anesthesia necessary.
If you're about to have surgery, listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm getting a Bonnaroo tattoo, but they need to put me under. So
can
you
get a copy to take with him to put to listen to?
If you need to head out, you head out. I just have a couple more, and then we can wrap it up.
That sounds great.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ted.
Thank you so much for making this happen.
Hopefully, we see you before the farm.
Absolutely.
All right. I've always wondered, because one of the things that Bonnaroo is known for, the thing that is so of their brand, is a super jam. How do you book that? How in the world does that happen? Do you have to find the right person who's willing to just take it and run with it? Or do you have to specifically go and find the artist and add it to a contract?
No, it's not the latter. It's more about finding an act that's going to embrace what we're trying to achieve, and that can... you know, wants to really put in the time to put together a special moment, and wants to present that at Bonnaroo. And, you know, a lot of it is relationship based, and, you know, what for us, it's, you know, Sylvanesso is an artist that, we've wanted to do something special with for years out there. And, you know, when, I remember the moment I had a conversation with their manager about the fact that they were even considering toying with the idea of doing interpretations of their music with a full live band. Mm-hmm. My brain immediately went to,
really?
Mm-hmm. Wonder if we could do something special. So even then, I kind of had, immediately I thought Super Jam. And so
I think a Sylvanesso Super Jam might be one of the most unique things that you guys have come up with. And now that I know it's with a full band, now it starts to make sense. And I heard of that the other day. Mm-hmm. But that is such a weird pull. Mm-hmm. But I love weird.
And so they did a short run of this in November of 2019, this past year, and we presented the show at the Ryman, and I remember seeing the show in that moment, and I knew we had a home run, because it was one of the most, you know, impressive and dynamic and beautiful and incredible shows I saw last year. Mm-hmm. And I just think I cannot wait for that to play at Bonnaroo, and to have it be a super jam, which means there's going to be some fun things up our sleeves. It's going to be an amazing moment.
But they got to come up with the friends and family, right?
Well,
do they call in favors?
We do it together.
Okay.
You know, it's a collaborative effort. You know, similarly, the Grand Ole Opry, you know, we work very much hand in hand with the Opry team on crafting a Bonnaroo moment for the Grand Ole Opry. It's the same thing with the Super Jam. It's very much in collaboration with the festival and with us. And, you know, obviously the artists really drive it, but we're bringing a lot of ideas to the table and really, really working with them. We're using our relationships, the band's relationships, to try to come up with some pretty amazing special moments and special guests.
Have there been occasions where guys have played and then seen maybe a Super Jam and comes at, I'm going to do that
all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Imagine that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and that's really, you know, whether organically is a word or not, a lot of times the super jams almost come together in that way, because we have artists that we book and they're playing the festival and we don't think of them in that way, but then they'll reach out and say, hey, have you thought about so-and-so? They might want to do the super jam. And we think, oh, that's really interesting. And so we go, yeah. Or
everyone talks.
Yeah.
About
and so, yeah.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to be interested. Yeah. And sometimes it's us reaching out and saying, hey, Billy Idol, will you come do this? Or, hey, Brittany Howard, will you come do this? Or sometimes it's them going with, hey, I'd like to participate in this.
Anybody on the spot ever decide to do it just on the fly?
Great question. I'm sure that's happened. I'm sure that's happened.
Yes.
Those shows are very planned. You know, I mean, they're not. Yeah. It's not like in the moment. Yeah. Hey, let's do this cover song right now. I mean, it, you know, they're rehearsed. They're thought through. They're obviously very improvisational in nature, but there's a lot of planning that goes involved. There's rehearsals that go involved that are involved as well.
Who on this lineup specifically best? We've talked about Lizzo earlier. Who on this lineup best represents your brand?
Wow,
there's a lot of them. I mean,
I don't know. It's hard to say any one band.
Yeah, I mean,
necessarily.
I kind of think that really at the end of the day, like everybody that's on the lineup represents the festival and what we're doing. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it is. Tame Impala more on brand for Bonnaroo than Tool? I mean, they're both representative, I mean, it's not, right? Because that's a tribute to the brand itself, yeah, right? Is
exactly.
That it's
that's what I think. So strong.
Yeah.
Lineup is it's just strong and it's all it's what do we call it? Heavy. It's just heavy. It's heavy with good stuff.
Yep. It's insanely well rounded, yeah. And you guys should be celebrated for it. It makes our life a lot easier because we have a lot to talk about. But you mean you guys should really, and what back to the point that you guys made earlier, the way that you can look back on a lineup is unbelievable. The way that you can like backwards convince yourself like that lineup was great, but in the front of it you're like again, it's never, we say this on the show all the time, it is never about a lineup. And I know Ted is right, and I know most people, I get it when they say that, you know, lineup creates dollars, but the beauty about Bonnaroo is it's almost insulated from the ebbs and flows of an industry, the ebbs and flows of a cycle or a financial crisis or whatever, because you've got an experience that is unlike anything else on the planet, and you've got a brand that is as strong as you can find that's connected to its audience. And, you know, you guys are, at least we like to showcase that on this show. And, you know, we appreciate, you know, you guys giving us this time, because this is not something that's happened, I think, ever. So this is a pretty big deal.
Can't thank you guys enough.
Well, it's been a lot of fun talking to you, sure. And we enjoy it.
I honestly, we are such nerds about this. We could literally talk about this all day, all day.
But we could meet up at Camp Nut
Camp,
Butter.
Camp Nut Butter.
Nut Butter.
Yeah. We'll have a Camp Nut Butter meetup.
I've never been.
Meet the bookers.
Yeah.
You know, Ken Weinstein was a guest last year.
We couldn't get him to leave. Yeah, we could not get him out of camp.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was terrific. So.
No, Ken's the best.
Ken Weinstein owning camp is really one of the highlights of my weekend. I mean, just shooting off one-liners at everybody. Yeah. You know, it was a really invigorating
experience. It was like a radio show.
Well, that's what I do for a living. A comedy show.
That's great.
Thank you, guys.
Guys,
so
amazing.
Our pleasure. Anytime.
Really phenomenal.
Yep. Thanks for coming up to Knoxville.
Yeah, it means that much to us. That's why it was worth coming up. For you guys to give us this much time is unbelievable. So
yeah. Can't wait till June.
Yeah, right?
Thanks so much.
You got it.
Our chat with Steve, Ted, and Brian from AC Entertainment, the guys that booked the lineup. Now, we appreciate you listening. If you were listening, I know there's some wonky Barry Corder audio issues, which here's what's crazy. It happens all the time. Yeah. Barry Corder's audio always just seems to be a little off every time.
And I think I'm yelling. I think I'm screaming.
I don't think
and
I've...
it's so quiet.
How long have I known you? I've never heard you yell.
That's a good point. I probably haven't ever. You probably never
I'm
heard
probably
me.
The closest person in your life that you've yelled at.
I yell at my car, and that's about my cat.
Yeah. There was a time where me and Barry took a little... we took a road trip to Knoxville, of course, as you saw. Yell. But me and him took a road trip to Forecastle one year, and I annoyed him so badly at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I thought he was going to reach through the wall and... choke the hell out of me.
Well, I told you about the dream that I later had where you started doing that again while we were at Bonnaroo, and I came out of the tent and just went grape ape, grabbed you by the ankles.
I might have spent the entire night sitting in one bedroom while he was in the other just yelling, Barry!
Oh, that was awful.
Barry, do you like grapes?
Bad memory.
It was very strange.
But anyway, what a interesting conversation with these guys, and what a great way to kick this year off.
Yeah, huh? How about that little nugget of information that King Lizard
is King Grizzard is going to be with the doing late night. That's a big piece of information. We didn't know that.
Well, not just that, but out of that conversation, not only do they know who they're going after, but where they're going to play and when.
Yeah.
That's a lot of balls in the air.
That was
to
something
try to keep straight.
We thought that we had most of this figured out. I did not think that that's how they did it.
No,
I did not think that they knew exactly where certain bands were going to play. Now, I had this idea that they have to know when they're going to book somebody like Brittany Howard. She needs to know certain something like that. We know you're going to be on a Friday. We know it's going to be somewhere between 4 and 10. But I didn't know they specifically knew exactly which slot they were going to put each and every band. And it makes me think, you know, about all the questions that we may have missed. When somebody like Brittany Howard, if she were to pull out,
yeah,
I wonder who the backup would have been. And I know that they probably wouldn't have told me because, you know, that gives a lot of things away. But boy, what happens when somebody like that falls through? If you've already got everything already lined up on the grid and already on the schedule, who do you slide in there? Do you find somebody that's more like her? Do you find somebody that's totally just who you can get? That part I wish that I would have, you know, thought to ask.
I mean, you do it. You do the rotisserie football, and I don't know if you do baseball. But
rotisserie football.
What's it called?
That's fantasy football.
Fantasy football. It's changed. We used to call it rotisserie. You do fantasy football. That's what I always sort of imagine. You know, is you go in with your list.
Oh yeah, picking players.
And your number one's gone.
Yeah.
And you know, depending on where you are, I mean, it's somewhat similar to that. But the other thing,
that is an interesting analogy. That is a Barry Corder, especially.
Yeah. Well, you know, but you go in with your list, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they go in with their list, but. Here in what it was Grizzard, right? That he saw at a club. Was that the act that he saw? And he's like, I know where this needs to be.
Late night. Late night of Bonnaroo.
Calling Brian and got it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what I thought. I thought you said it right, that they go with their gut. But the fact that they have it all in their head years on out, I think we talked about driving home. How hard it would be if you dropped two people brand new in and said, go book this thing.
Right, good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck trying to figure out this, because these guys, like we said in the show, a sponge, and they've got to be thinking about every angle, and it's like octopus arms. They've just got to always be thinking about who goes where it's going to go, if it falls through. Boy, the pressure that has, and that's why, you know, you probably give them a little bit more leniency if it's a lineup that you don't necessarily think is for you. This is really, really hard. And I don't know how some of the other festivals do it, but I don't know how the big ones like Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza is a big committee, man, a big committee of people. I don't know how Golden Voice and Coachella does their lineup, but for two guys to be able to keep all of this straight is pretty remarkable.
Not just that, but they do other events, and they admitted themselves, this one's different. And it's because, and this was fascinating to me, all of the elements that you and I have talked about and sort of come to realize that are part of this festival, the plazas, the experiences, they have to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah.
What's marketing doing? What's the plaza? What's going on in there? How is what we are doing going to work with that? I mean, so it's not just a crawl in a hole and get 80 acts or 100 acts.
Yeah.
There's a lot to consider. Yep. So.
And we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you being a Patreon. We've got some Patreons that we want to thank, and we're going to do that right here on the screen. If you're listening on the podcast version at thewhatpodcast.com, we'll read them to you. But if you're on the screen, they're scrolling past us right now. You know why? Because Lord Taco is a genius, and
that's
he's figured
this
out. Yes,
he took us to Camp Nut Butter in the middle of January.
Is that where we are?
That's where we are.
Wow.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I'm a little overdressed. We'll see you next week on The What Podcast.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year? That matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.